about to break it down during your lunch break. This is Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard coming to you from downtown Toronto as we look at Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. It is game day, a doubleheader for you. Montreal against Winnipeg at 7:30, and then we'll slide over to San Jose and Calgary at 9:30. Pittsburgh, Washington also on the NHL schedule tonight, along with a big game for the Florida Panthers against the New York Islanders. We will chat today with a couple of all-stars. Patrick from Chicago, he will join us. He's going to Los Angeles. Patrick Kane jumps on board along with Arizona Coyotes goaltender Mike Smith, who didn't know what to make from the phone call that he got from his general manager yesterday. He wasn't sure it was going to be great news. We'll also chat with Marty St. Louis in just a minute. Big ceremony coming up for him with the Tampa Bay Lightning as we bring in Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean.
Welcome back, Doug.
Thanks, guys.
Some transaction news from the Toronto Maple Leafs late last night. Jonas Enroth traded to the Anaheim Ducks after picking up Curtis McIlhenny as the new backup, or the newest backup, if you want to call it that. We're seeing teams make some changes with their goaltending this week.
You'd be a little nervous coming in as a backup here when you look at the previous run the guys have had. You know, you'd be a touch nervous, wouldn't you? You know you're not getting plum games. Although, the one thing about Curtis McIlhenny, he's used to that. What he's gone through.
And he's shown he can go into those short spurts where he can play very well.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised. I know he had an off game against the Rangers and that horrendous loss that they had the other night at home. But I don't know what happened that he, you know, because they were raving about him a month ago.
Babcock will love him just because he's taller than 6'2". That's good enough.
And a quality guy.
But he's a big guy. He's a big guy, yeah. Much bigger than Enroth, let's say.
Edmonton, Toronto, Columbus, all making changes with their goaltending. And the Anaheim acquisition of Enroth is because they need some depth in the American Hockey League because of some injuries. Yesterday, Austin Matthews was named to the NHL All-Star team for the Atlantic Division. And he held a conference call yesterday. And just we want to play you some tape from Austin Matthews and just what it means to him being selected to take part in the NHL's All-Star Weekend.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to meeting, you know, all the guys, all the players, a lot of players that I grew up watching, like Patrick Kane, you know, Taze, a lot of players that, you know, are superstars in this league and that, you know, myself and a lot of other guys looked up to.
That is Austin Matthews yesterday. Earlier in the day on Hockey Central at Noon, Joel Quenneville was on board discussing where the Chicago Blackhawks are in their season and unprompted had this to say about Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and the Toronto Maple Leafs and where Toronto is in their program compared to Chicago. Here's Joel Quenneville.
When we first got here to Chicago, it was one of these teams that I'm starting to think of looking at what Toronto has in front of them there, and it's one of those teams where you've got a lot of young guys that have bright futures, potential to be great players, and we had some real special players here, and it looks like you guys got that same type of a makeup.
Joel Quenneville lumping us into the Toronto Maple Leafs and where they are in the fold. But interesting comparison between where Toronto is with those two players and Chicago with Taves and Kane.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is Taves and Kane have done it and done it consistently over a period of time. These guys here have done it short term and have the potential to grow into that, but it's a long way from where they are to accomplishing what those guys have accomplished. Not that they can't, and there's maybe a good chance they can, but it's these are Kane and Taves are two pretty special
they
winners.
Are, but they don't even get to where they have been without Duncan Keith and
Seabrook and Crawford
those Hossa. Two guys on the blue line. Of course, there's an amazing supporting cast. Hossa has been unbelievable over the years, but for me, it's finding that second defenseman, let alone the first one. And I don't know; it might be harder today than it ever has been before to add that piece. And if you're drafting in the top five, I think it's easier to maybe forecast an Austin Matthews than it would be even a Drew Doughty. I mean, when Drew was drafted second overall, I believe, correct, behind Stamkos, there wasn't the build-up not even close for Drew Doughty to be what he is today.
No.
So it's a much bigger crapshoot when it comes to defense and being that guy. And then, of course, Duncan Keith was not a first rounder at all.
And neither was Weber. And, you know.
So well, that to me is the thing with the Leafs now. To go into that Chicago mode,
you got to get lucky.
They've got to find those pieces to support Matthews and Marner.
Something like what Marty St. Louis turned out to be, a diamond in the rough. Here is the former National Hockey League player and about to get the big honor from the Tampa Bay Lightning. You're watching the league, I'm sure. You got out just in time with all these kids bursting on the scene, didn't you?
Yeah, I felt them coming. It's time to move on.
what's your feeling going into this this ceremony with the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Oh, I mean, I think it's going to be a you know, an emotional night for sure. I think for me and my family and friends, and you know, it's a huge honor. Very flattered, obviously, when Mr. Vinnick called me. You never expect or hope to get those calls. You know, it's something that. When it happens, it takes you by surprise and gives you a chance to reflect on some of the things that you've done. And, I had a great, my time in Tampa was awesome. It'll always be home for me. And the fact that I'm getting recognized like that, I think it's going to give me a chance to, reconnect with the fans on some level that, they've been so good to me my whole career.
Marty, is it true when they say when you're playing that it's just too hard to reflect and look at milestones, and we're watching Jágr do it in Florida, and there's a sense that you get that he doesn't really want to go down that path because it'll take his eye off the ball. Is that your case? Will it all kind of pile on right at that moment Friday night in Tampa Bay, or have you already started the process of looking at an undrafted player who's played 1,000 games and gotten over 1,000 points?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think my, I'm in my second year now, probably a year and a half being retired, and I definitely had some downtime to really, think of what I did and more importantly, how I did it. You know, to me, it's like, okay, I kind of came in through the back door and, clawed and whatever, just to, trying to get to the top of the mountain, and eventually I got there. And for me, the hardest part, obviously, getting there was hard, to the top, but, like, to stay there, and you talk about the young kids coming in and stuff, like, to stay there is just so hard. Every year you have new players coming in, you have players that are young, they're getting better, they're all trying to knock you off the mountain and stuff, and, reaching success is very hard. Keeping success at a high level is probably harder, and that's why you once you get there, you even have to work harder and really, take pride in your off-ice training and for me, it was always about, almost like not reinventing yourself, but really working on your game and understanding, because the game kind of changes every, like, few years. It kind of changes. Some of the young kids, they bring something new to the table. You have to be able to adapt and adjust. So, when I reflect back, I reflect on the consistency of a player I feel I was once I got there and how I got to do that.
Marty, that was a pretty special group in Tampa with Brad Richards and Vinny, you. I mean, it was a magical time. What was it, and Habib Boulin, obviously, what was it about that team that was the reason you won, besides talent?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, we were good players. Like, we weren't, like, established players yet, yeah. We were, like, trying to find our way. We were trying to gain respect individually and as a team. And so we kind of, nobody really was really clearly talking about us, Yeah. We were just trying to, like, prove people what we could do. And it just kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger. And we had so much momentum, and we just never, looked back, we just ran with it. And we had a coach that I feel like understood that. And I see the success that Torch is having with Columbus. And, to me, it's very similar. Like, at the time that he's taking Columbus and the time he took us, he had some, got some pieces here and there, you know. And for us, you know, we had Dan Boyle on D. He was kind of a fourth forward. You know, we had a lot of great pieces. And then you had, you know, backbone by Habib Bulin. And, you know, we had veteran leadership. You know, it was just, you know, Andrechuk and Taylor. And we had a great mix. And, you know, Torts understood that where we were and we were trying to prove people. And he played his top guys a ton. And he just let us go, really. I can't tell you exactly how it happened. Everything kind of happened so fast to me, like the, you know, from 2001 to 2004, those 3 years. But it just happened. And it wasn't luck, you know. It wasn't luck. It was, you know, hard work and people believing in what we're doing and be surrounded by players that want to reach excellence. And to me, you know, there's no way I can reach excellence unless the guy next to me wants the same thing. You know, it's too hard of a league. You can't do it by yourself.
Hockey Central Noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean chatting with Martin St. Louis, who's going to have his number retired on Friday night when they host the Tampa Bay Lightning, host the Columbus Blue Jackets, John Tortorella on the other bench. I'm just curious about one part of your game was intriguing to me. Was you weren't the tallest guy, but you used the long stick. When did that develop inside your game?
I don't know. It just seemed like it kept getting longer and longer. You know, I mean, I found out pretty quick coming from college where I probably had the puck a lot of the game. And you get to the pros and you realize that you don't have the puck much. You know, the game is played without it. And for me, you know, if your stick is too short, it's hard to play defense. And I was used in a defensive role when I first came in. And I want to give myself the best chance possible as a shorter guy. You know, and it was a league back then that there was more slappers, you know, than wrist shots. And so for me, I felt like I had a longer stick. I could have a stiffer stick, and I could, you know, pound it more than if I had a shorter stick. You know, so it was a combination of trying to feel what felt comfortable. As long as you don't lose the hands and still can pass the puck, you know, how can you put yourself in a position to be successful on the ice? It's all about trying to find an edge, really. And for me, that's what I thought worked at the time. And I actually, like, eventually, in my later years, I play with a much shorter stick than I used to play. As I said, the game changed and the curve, I changed my curve. Everything, you try to adapt to what's going on, you know, on the ice and around you. And you learn a lot from some of these, you know, younger kids coming in, you know, how they're shooting the puck. I mean, it's so different than how we were taught to shoot the puck. And you learn from them. So I had front and center a chance, you know, to see a Stamkos coming in and firing pucks the way he did. And you know, you try to, you know, add something to your game that they're doing, and if it can improve you and give you an edge.
Marty, you look back at when you first broke into pro hockey, and a guy your size had to fall through the cracks a few times, and we knew that was the case in Calgary. And here we are today in 2016, and guys your size not only are coming in but dominating at a much higher rate. You're a bit of a trailblazer in that regard.
I mean, I think, you know, for me, there was guys before me, you know, that I think gave me hope. And if I gave hope to some of these smaller guys, it's awesome, you know. And those guys will give hope to somebody else. It's a wheel that keeps on turning, and it's that's the great thing about, you know, the sports I feel like you find yourself on the ice in key situation. You know, I felt like I'd been in those moments 1,000 times on the street, just play it in my head. You know, I was, you know, so-and-so, you know, Mats Naslund coming down, you know, and like, it's like, you know, and it's, that's the great thing about, you know, that's when the game's at its purest. And it's for me to help, it's great, because there was people in front of me that helped me, and those guys, they're going to help the next wave of players and kids and then develop the passion of hockey. And, you know, I mean, I feel it's been a sport that just keeps on growing because of that kind of stuff.
I remember, it's funny listening to you talk. I remember sitting in my office in Columbus and your name continually coming up. Paul Castron, who was our U.S. scout, kept bringing this guy's name up that was in St. John, had played it, you know, in the...
And you weren't smart enough to figure it out.
You know what? And we continually talked about it, and then he gets picked up. And who gave you your biggest break, Marty, when all that was going on, when you're playing in the American Hockey League and coming out of college? Who really was the guy that gave you your biggest break to get and biggest chance?
Well, for me, I can't look, you know, as much as I was in Calgary for a long time, but I remember, you know, after my junior year in college, I had a few offers to sign in the NHL, and I turned it down. It wasn't, you know, the money wasn't big enough after you pay taxes, buy a car. I mean, there's nothing left. And I felt like I went back for my senior year, and I had a pretty good senior year too, and there was just no offers. So I had to sign in the old IHL in Cleveland, you know, with an out if I got an NHL deal. And I went to the All-Star game, and the day later, Nick Pilano signed me, you know. Mm-hmm. And he signed me to my first NHL contract, him and Al Coates. But it was Nick that, you know, was behind it, you know. Nick allowed me to reach the NHL, you know. Yeah. And there's other people, obviously, that allowed me to be an NHLer, which is a big difference, you know. Play a few games in NHL and actually be an NHLer, to me, is on a different level. But Nick, it all started with Nick. You know, I remember him telling me that he told Bill Stewart, who was coaching in St. John, he said, hey, Bill, I got this. We just picked up this guy. He looked like he looks like the paper boy. I became pretty good friend with Bill after I actually played with him in Switzerland during the lockout. And so we had a chance to really talk. He used to tell me a lot of stories about that time, and it gave me a lot of laughs.
Yeah, Bill has some stories to tell too, from his side of things. And you made headlines talking about the paperboy. Congratulations! It's Friday night. The number retired. The Tampa Bay Lightning.
That game in front will be on Sportsnet as well.
In front of the Columbus Blue Jackets and your head coach John Tortorella. So the guy that you won the Stanley Cup with. Congratulations and thanks for sharing your
Marty,
memories.
Are you a crier? I mean, your dad Norm will be there. Brian Biedman will be there. Very emotional. How are you going to handle it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm going to handle it the way it comes out, you know. it's hard to predict, you know.
Well, good luck, bud. And you deserve it.
Have a great night. Well deserved, Marty.
Well deserved.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations. Martin St. Louis, former Tampa Bay Lightning, and has his number retired on Friday night.
But seriously, what a road he may had to the NHL.
Yeah, he was talented, but he was
heart
and soul too, I know. Right?
When he was in the minors, guys were getting called up ahead of him all the time.
All the time.
And it was Rick Vive who took him aside and said, you're going to get a chance, but you better take advantage of that chance.
He was in the American Hockey League, he was a point-of-game guy, and he still got overlooked.
Yeah. Oh, right. I know. And I remember, like, I'm serious, boys. We talked about him nonstop, because Paul Castron kept bringing his name up, one of our scouts, because he loved him from, I'm not sure if he was at St. Lawrence or Clarkson, where he played, or Vermont. He was in that league, and he was just
he broke his leg early, too, in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Never slowed him down.
The stick thing. Dude, I didn't realize it was for defensive purposes. I always thought it was...
Yeah. Zuccarello has the long stick,
He does,
too.
Yeah.
Right? Very similar.
Probably picked it up from Marty.
Might have. Mm-hmm. But what kind of stick did you use?
You know what? I was an idiot.
You used a Sherwood.
Used a short stick.
You did.
All I thought about was just shooting the puck. Mm-hmm. And it was dumb. There's no way a stick should come underneath your chin 6-8 inches. And yeah. I just loved
Is it still the same? It used to be
to your
chin.
Yeah.
Adam's apple.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the way that you play defense now and you close lanes off and you need an active stick now. It's just dumb to have a short stick.
So what's the standard if somebody's listening in there?
You know what, Darren? I would say any comfort zone between your nose and your chin is fine.
Mm-hmm. On skates,
but you
got
to
right?
Yeah, on skates, but you got to be able to shoot the puck and handle it. There has to be a comfort zone.
And when you played, it was your Adam's apple, though, Nick.
It was the Adam's apple.
Yeah. It was the measuring spot, eh? It's funny how it's changed.
You know, Alain Frady never used his own stick in practice. He'd always go to the stick rack and grab anybody's stick.
Why?
Because he wanted the ability to feel comfortable under any situation. It was the weirdest thing, and I could never do that.
He didn't want to work on a stick.
No. But he would go out there, and he'd still be able to shoot a puck like the LA for 80 that we knew. It was weird.
Well, I remember when it was in St. Louis, Gino Cavallini was a player with us, and he'd spend hours on his stick. And then Bernie Federico, who became a Hall of Famer, would just take it right out of the order and go on the ice. I mean, it used to always be wondering how stars didn't spend a lot of time and grinders would just grind away at their sticks.
Guys have so much more free time now compared to, because the sticks all come pre-made. Totally. You're not working on your curve.
But I used to work on them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, serious work.
The torch.
And the fires.
The fires, yeah. That's a book. Fires from bending sticks.
I'll tell you what. Watching Washington play the other night, Washington Montreal game, and to see Ovechkin score that goal on Price on the power play late to move ahead of tie Rocket Richard. That was a stick conversation. Watching that stick and that shot.
Were you guys ones that would get your sticks over the element on the stove at home? When you were growing up?
The plastic blade?
Oh, yeah.
Could never use a full wood stick in road hockey.
Road hockey, the plastic blade.
And then you could put the big Bobby Hull curve on it.
Huge. Remind me sometime to tell the Ulf Samuelson torch story.
You don't want to tell it now?
Torch was dangerous.
Can you tell it now?
I don't know.
We have 3 minutes.
Okay, I got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So in the old Spectrum, the wives' room was right across the visiting room.
Yes, I remember that vividly.
So Alfie would be out there working on his stick, and the caterer with his steel cart would come in and out of the wives' room dropping off food, and he was really ticking off Alfie. So he says, I'm going to get him. So he goes and gets the torch, and while the guy is delivering the food in the wives' room, he starts heating up his handle.
No.
Yes, with the torch. And I'm like, okay, enough. No, enough. So sure enough, he comes out and starts pushing it out, and he grabs it. And I hear a scream out of a man like I've never heard before. And then there's Alfie around the stick rack just laughing.
And then Joe Cadillac would come on the scene. Do you remember Joe Cadillac?
Joe's the best.
What was wrong with the kid? What was he doing to bug him?
He wouldn't stop delivering in and out.
Yeah, it was a pain. That
yes.
It was a pain having that wives' room right across from our dressing room. It was a pain. Yes.
I was wondering why you were working, as a coach, you were working on sticks.
I was taking the wives' jackets.
I found that really weird when we were together in Washington.
They used to walk by me and say, would you hang my coat up, sir? They thought I was the bell cap.
Why is Mac working on a stick out here?
Some big performances last night in the National Hockey League. The San Jose Sharks hang 5 on the Edmonton Oilers for a win in Edmonton. Chicago beats Detroit and Nashville over Vancouver. And as things tighten up in the Western Conference, Eastern Conference as well. Tonight, Habs against the Winnipeg Jets. Interesting that both teams have been beat up. Oh. So they're coming at this from the same angle, except that Montreal has a cushion and Winnipeg doesn't.
Yeah, and you feel for Winnipeg with that line looked Shifley line when we watched them last week with Ehlers and Laine. You thought, oh my, this line could get this team in the playoffs. They were that good. And then to lose the kid like that is devastating for them. And it was a big hit, but let's hope it's not too long.
You know what the hit reminded me of? Brian Campbell, Umberger. Remember that one?
Yep.
Kind of the same type of hit. Yeah. So I don't know if he was more, like, there's no question he felt the hit. But you wonder if he's just, that element of surprise was as much of a factor as the contact to the head. And yeah. I'm really hoping that we could see him in LA. Having him and Austin Matthews out there during the All-Star game, I think would be a really special moment that we'll kind of remember even 10, 15 years from now, having those two guys.
Throwing Connor?
Not so much Connor, because this is two
rookies.
Well, just
because rookies. It's his first All-Star game.
I know that. But Connor's in a different bracket. These guys hopefully will go down the same kind of path that Ovi and Sid had those first 5-10 years in the National Hockey League, where we're talking about them like we've talked about, you know, Magic and and Larry Bird and all, you know, all the rest of them.
You know, Winnipeg, you look at their injuries, and they haven't had their group together for more than a handful of games, and they're trying to get into this thing. A point out right now, 2 points out of the playoff spot. Montreal's different. They've gone through a massive amount of injuries, but they're a first-place hockey team.
Because of Price. And I think Winnipeg, the positive, just touching on Winnipeg for a minute, the positive is that Hellebuck looks like he's taken the job. Mm-hmm. What, 10 of the last 12 he started? And he's star of the last game. He looks like he's really, as a young kid. But with Price, he just gives him a chance. And I know his numbers have dropped recently, but Price gives him a chance every night. It's no different. Look at Bobrovsky. When Bobrovsky doesn't play for Columbus, they're an average team, but it's bizarre.
Montoya's gotten points.
Yeah, I know.
And just take away his debacle in Columbus, and his numbers are really good. So he's managed. Listen, you look at this roster, and you can pick it apart outside of Carey. Like they're a grinding team. When they've got four lines going, and it's just kind of the only way you can be successful now, Carolina's going through it now where they're just playing a good structured game. They roll four lines, and they don't make a ton of mistakes defensively.
But everybody wants to jump on Therrien a lot. I've done it. This guy's done a heck of a job.
Oh,
When you consider this year.
Votes.
But Price's
Coach of the Year votes.
He's the backbone.
We're going to take a break. When we continue, a couple of all-stars slated to join us. Patrick in Chicago. Patrick Kane will pop on.
Oh, great.
And then Mike Smith of the Arizona Coyotes. And he'll be able to relay the story about when John Chyka phoned him, his general manager, to tell him that he's going to the All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. It's Hockey Central at Noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, the NHL Network, and our podcast available on all kinds of platforms, including iTunes.
Hockey Central at Noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Important night in the Western Conference when you look at the NHL schedule. Winnipeg, 1 point out of a playoff spot behind the wild card position of Los Angeles and Calgary. They take on the Montreal Canadiens. San Jose against the Flames. That one on Sportsnet 1 at 9:30 Eastern time. Calgary Flames in a wild card position. Darren Millard here in the Hockey Central studio along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. Pavel Datsyuk is going to Los Angeles for the All-Star weekend. So read into that he's going to be acknowledged as one of the top 100 players of all time. The only reason I think that he would be going to Los Angeles for All-Star Weekend.
Unless he just wants to spend some quality time in L.A., California versus Russia.
Maybe he's a contestant on The Price is Right. We don't know.
Yeah.
It was hard enough getting Red Wings to go to the game when they were playing in it. So
exactly.
Now he's going to go.
Now, is Sid going to play?
I believe so. He's a captain.
Oh, good.
Yes, good. He is. He's a one-time All-Star. Now he's a two-time All-Star.
That's great.
Imagine saying that.
Are you excited?
Can you imagine saying that?
He's played one All-Star game?
Yeah. Are you excited?
One-time All-Star. Yeah. Sid Crosby before this year.
Are you excited about the 3-on-3 tournament?
Not really.
Oh.
Are you? You like it? You can watch an hour and a half of that?
I liked it last year, but I don't think I'm going to watch it.
Do you remember
2 hours? Spend a lot of time on it this year.
Do you remember the commercial campaign where Ovechkin ordered all the food to Crosby's room?
Yes.
That was Dallas. That's the only game Sidney Crosby's ever played in. Wow, back in Dallas.
But that's great that he's going to be in California.
Here's Patrick Kane, who's also going to Los Angeles. Patrick from Chicago, nice to have you back on the show. How are things?
Where have you been?
I've been waiting for my invite, so it was finally good to hear from you guys yesterday. Knowing I was coming on the show, I was excited.
He was ticked off because last time he was on with you guys, I wasn't there, and it didn't feel the same, he said.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad it's the regular crew today, so that made me feel good.
So how did you find out that that you were going to Los Angeles for another All-Star game?
It was actually during our morning skate yesterday. After the skate, Quinville usually brings in all the players and just kind of talks to them about what he's expecting for the game that night, and you know, instead of doing that, he just announced that four of us were going to the All-Star game, so it's pretty cool.
So this is your sixth. You get tired of these things? Superman 1 year? Like, what's coming up here in L.A.? It's L.A. It's La La Land here.
Glasses. He's got the big glasses going again.
You gotta bring it.
Yeah, you know what? It's exciting. I think I don't think you can ever get sick of these things, especially you know, when you go and meet different players and get to do different events, and you know, like you said, it's in LA this year, so it makes it even more entertaining and fun. So I think that's kind of the basis of the players now. We want to go to this All-Star game and try to put on a show for the fans, have some fun, and you know, bring some entertainment, I guess.
Just I was thinking the other day when I saw your picture of you and Taves with the Team USA jersey on, and I thought, if I played for the Chicago Blackhawks and like Taves and lost to the U.S. like Team Canada, you'd be the last guy I'd want to run into the next morning. Are you like a real pain in the ass to these guys or what?
Well, you know what? It was actually pretty cool. We actually played the night of the championship game, and I think it was pretty much on at the same time, or their game might have even been earlier, so we weren't expecting to catch any of it. And, you know, I think going into overtime in a shootout, it was right after a game we beat off Buffalo in overtime. So we got off the ice, and there was probably about 25, 30 people in our lounge watching the game, and we had all the boys around watching and all of our teammates. And, you know, it was pretty cool just to kind of sit there and, you know, knowing what transpired with the U.S. and Russia and the shootout, and then with this one going into a shootout, and of course the Terry kid scoring was just kind of fun to watch. And of course all the Americans were cheering, all the Canadians were pissed. But I think during the game Taser was going in and checking the score in between periods because he was so nervous about wearing the jersey. So
did you get updates during your game?
No, I wasn't getting updates. I was just trying not to worry about it. But some of the staff told me that Taser was going in and watching the game in between periods. So pretty funny.
And you're okay with a shootout as long as the right team wins.
Yeah, totally.
You know what? I don't know. I think you know, especially the shootout brings excitement for sure. But I think in a championship game, it's always fun to see that overtime goal or that, you know, golden goal or whatever they call it. So it would have been cool to kind of see it extend into overtime. But, I mean, the shootout brought a bunch of drama as well.
Patrick Kane from Chicago, the Blackhawks all-star forward, joining us on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. Are you a guy that keeps track of things like the scoring race at all? Do you check in, say,
come
what Connor's
on,
doing?
Of course he is. Come on.
Or are you going to tell me that you don't? Do you just let things happen?
I think anyone that tells you they don't would be lying to you. You know, it's actually me and one of my teammates, my former teammates, Patrick Charbois, had a joke going on when, you know, he'd ask certain questions like, how many goals do you have this year? What are your assists or points or whatever? And someone would always try to give that answer like, oh, I don't know. I'm not keeping track of that stuff. But deep down, you really know that stuff. You just kind of don't want to, you know, let it off to all your teammates. So I think, you know, as an offensive guy, that's kind of how you try to judge yourself and you know, see what the standards are. So you always got an eye on it. I still think it's, you know, pretty early to worry about it and have it too much in the back of your mind, but you're always checking it out for sure.
So what are your numbers right now?
Oh man, I could probably tell you my shots on goal, my Corsi, everything, but I think I have 12 goals and let's see, I think I have 45 points, so that would leave 33 assists. Right?
You got it. How many are you behind McDavid?
I think three, right?
Three is correct. And you're heating up now. It's almost as if you kind of teased the league a little bit by holding back, but now you're all set for the back half of the season here. You're gonna just tear it right up.
Well, I think, you know, as a, you know, you see a lot of offensive guys, maybe they go through different types of slumps and hot streaks. So I guess when it's your time, you want to, you know, take advantage of it, especially when you're, you know, putting up numbers and points. You want to keep it going. But, you know, I think it's funny. I think Crosby is right there too, but he's played like 11 less games than me and Connor. So he's having a tremendous season. He's always a guy to kind of, you know, watch.
Now you're a guy that looks, you know, the way you play the game, you remind me of a guy that could play a ton. And you're more than a minute ahead of Taves, but do you ever really give Joel a shot or like a poke and say, like, give me a little more ice time?
You know what? Maybe in past years. This year, I've been playing a lot of minutes, so you don't really have to do that or kind of show that you want to be out there. I think the one thing, and maybe Johnny does it too, but I would always do it, is just kind of, you know, you like stand up on the bench and ask who's up next.
Wave your hands.
You know what happened?
And set your hair on fire.
Just remember this. When I was assistant coach in Detroit, Gerard Gallant, elbowed me in the stomach as assistant coach. He said, tell that dummy to put me on the power play, meaning for me to go and tell Brian Murray to put him on the power play. So give Kitchen these guys a shot.
No. You know what? I sometimes in warmups with the assistant coaches on the bench, they're taking the other team's lines, and I'll go up to Deneen or Kitchen and just say, hey, probably about 26, 27 minutes tonight, just joking around, but kind of throw that in there, you know?
Hey, you can – Mark Messier and Marion, all the best. They'd have one leg over the boards, and then they'd look back at their coach and say, who's up? And then you would hear, you are. That's it. Just have one foot over the board. Just have all your weight just about 2 seconds before falling over the boards and say, who's up? I guarantee you, it'll be you.
Well, what if the puck hits me in the shin pad on the boards? I'd be too many men.
Austin Matthews is on record saying he's really excited to spend some time with you and Jonathan Taves at All-Star Weekend. The comparisons between yourself, Mitch Marner, long-standing since they started the season. Do you see your game in Mitch Marner? Because he's a big fan of yours.
Yeah. I think obviously there's some comparison there with the size, and we both played in London, and he was a top pick as well. But, I think one of the things with him that I really notice is he's, you know, when I watch him, he's kind of got that all-around complete game where he's blocking shots. He's playing defense, which, you know, I never really did that much at that age. It seems like great chemistry with the line he's been on with Van Riemsdyk and Bozak. So, that team's maybe one of the funner teams to watch in the league. Even Matthews. I mean, how can you not be impressed with him? I didn't realize how skilled he was and how good of a shot he had, and how good he is at stripping pucks and making moves along the boards, different things like that. So I think you can tell, you know, Toronto's got a bright future. The Leafs are going to be good, and they're already good, but they're fun to watch right now too.
Before we go, is it true? I don't know. You probably did see it when the ceiling fell in on the studio a couple of weeks ago. Is it true that you hired somebody to take down the panel in front on top of Doug McLean?
Yeah, it's like I was like the phantom in there, right? Like,
yeah,
like, all the like having the chandelier come down or something. But
like, you were worried about me, though.
Yeah, of course. You know, you guys are fun to watch. I give you credit. You guys are like, it's great reality television.
You got any room in your luggage?
We're doing me and Seabrook every day at the rink.
Could you put in a word? Maybe I get invited to the All-Star game.
Yes. You got any room in your luggage to take Doug out?
I don't get to go to any of those things. They send me to Florida on the weekends.
Well, I know Kipper's always there. So
he's a wheel. He's the friend.
So maybe we'll get you there.
Kiprios is you. He's the franchise here. Pat, he's the franchise.
I got one foot over the boards here every show.
We got to find Pat.
Is that why he's in the middle?
Yes, exactly. We got to keep him in check. Thanks for doing this.
Who's
great,
going to LA?
Great catching up with you, and enjoy LA.
Good luck, Patrick.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay. Thanks
good luck.
For having me. Talk to you soon.
Bye. There's Patrick Kane. Patrick from Chicago. Now we slide over and chat with Mike in Arizona. Mike Smith, congratulations on the All-Star selection.
Why are we taking calls today?
We opened up the phone lines, and it just happens every time.
Calls from fans.
Whenever we open up the phone lines, it's NHL players calling in. It's really weird. So tell me about what you were feeling when you saw that you missed a call from John Chaika yesterday.
I missed the call.
And what were you thinking?
Where am I heading?
Yeah, I was
I was not very quick to check the voicemail, I'm not going to lie. But after I checked it, I was kind of thrown off a little bit, not going to lie.
So you didn't know that the rosters were coming out yesterday, and you thought you might have been dealt?
I had no idea, to be honest. I was up in Flagstaff about 2 hours from Scottsdale with my family in the snow, and I really had no idea that it was being announced yesterday, and obviously was shocked by the news.
He should have just left the message for you to call him. That's what he should have done. He's inexperienced, as a GM.
Oh, that would have been mean. That would have been mean just to say.
I would have done that.
Yes, you would have.
So when you found out you were absolutely thrilled you're going to the All-Star game, and then it dawned on you that I'm a goalie in a 3-on-3 competition here, my groins are going to be done.
100%. 100%.
That's not a good thing.
No. It was bad enough when it was 5-on-5 for the goalies.
Seriously.
Hey?
No, but like you said, I'm honored, I'm thrilled, and it's obviously something that you you hope to do before your career is over, and I'm just thrilled to get the opportunity this year to be able to represent the Coyotes.
I'm looking forward to it because of your puck handling ability. So you yes. you had a new development part of that process. But do you feel pressure knowing that the Coyote representative last year was the MVP?
You obviously didn't see my last game in Anaheim.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, you play the puck enough that every now and then it goes sideways.
And we are basing it on a larger body of work this season.
Yes, than one game. So is it back-to-back years for a Coyote MVP?
Wasn't he representing the NHL?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was.
But technically, I'm linking it back to Arizona and bypassing Montreal in the NHL.
Yeah, we'll do our best to fulfill that.
So, in all seriousness, do you need to change your philosophy on how you approach this long-term with 3-on-3, or it's a regular routine, you're going to stretch, no more, no less?
Yeah, it's no more, no less. Don't overthink it. I think it can be pretty crazy, but there's been games where I haven't had any shots. There's been games where I've had 11 or 12 in overtime, so... Yeah. I think it's kind of, the players are figuring out ways to hold the puck longer, which ultimately takes away chances. And, I think the last game I played, I didn't really give up a shot until I gave the one away. But, it's weird how it's kind of evolved. Obviously, it's a puck possession time of the game, and you want the puck, and you want to change when you can, and keep the puck, and that ends up not leading to a lot of scoring chances in some instances. But the Columbus game I played this year, we gave 11 shots in overtime. It was just a back and forth kind of exciting game like that. So I'm sure it'll be very exciting, to say the least, in LA, and something that I won't put too much pressure on myself to be crazy good, but it'll be exciting to be on the ice with all these great players.
You've always been great with us, and we send you our sincerest congratulations. Yes. It's an honor to go to the All-Star weekend and enjoy every moment.
Yes, congrats.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you having me.
Mike Smith, Arizona Coyotes.
Interesting is to hear him talk about how it's evolved. It's almost like watching a basketball setup where they just you come in within that certain area in front of the net, you just...
Then you back it off.
Just back off. Even guys go back out through the neutral zone and regroup. What about, it's a strange sight in the game of hockey.
And what about the 2-on-0 last night in Nashville? 2-on-0 in overtime.
Roman Josi gets shot out of a cannon on that. Oh, man, is he fast. Wow.
But a 2-on-0 and you're the goalie.
Thanks to Marty St. Louis.
Feel that?
Patrick Kane and Mike Smith. We'll talk to you tonight.